Today is Epiphany Sunday. I didn't realize it was, and I opened the calendar and I saw it, and suddenly I had an epiphany. Today is Epiphany Sunday. Work with me on this. I'm helping you define epiphany. Epiphany, you understand epiphany. Epiphany is what the story of Isaac Newton. You recall the story of Isaac Newton? The story is that an apple fell on his head. That's not correct. But he did recount that he watched an apple fall from a tree. And he began to ponder why it didn't fall up or sideways. And we began the scientific journey. Massive bodies attract each other. That was the concept that began this scientific revolution. It was an epiphany to Isaac Newton. So an epiphany is one of those, aha, I got it. Have any of you ever had an aha moment? And you've had epiphanies, you understand, and you don't understand what we're talking about. Today we're here about an aha about Jesus. It's an amazing sort of thing. It's amazing, it's epiphanous, and it's mysterious. And my sermon is a total mess, so we'll see where we get by the time we get through this. I begin by reading a quote from the Reverend Dr. Fred Craddock. He said, "The revelation is no longer a baby in a manger, a whisper from Bethlehem, but a voice from heaven at Jesus' baptism and the dazzling light of transfiguration." This is one of Fred Craddock's favorite Sundays. This is an amazing Sunday. And this Sunday is full of not only amazement, because the coming that was predicted by the prophets, it happened. I'm going to take a little aside here. I listened to the sermon Sunday and then inadvertently listened to some of my sermons, and I talk very fast. And I'm going to try and slow down. I don't know if it will work, but we'll see what we can do there. The child comes to fulfill the prophecy. That must have been just mind-blowing. They did not expect this. Which king would come? Which prince would rise? Which worthy prophet? Which celebrated family would bring a child? And it comes from a family of nobodies. Mary and Joseph were not rich. They were not wealthy. They were not esteemed. They were in the lineage, but they were nobodies, if there are somebodies. Most of us, if we want to chase our lineage, if you ever do ancestry, you'll discover that you are related to somebody somewhere famous. I have a Dame someone in my heritage in England. You wouldn't know it by looking at me, would you? But here comes the baby born to Mary and Joseph, and not in a palace, not with trumpets blaring and celebrations and people in the throngs surrounding area, but in a little town of Bethlehem in a barn. They didn't even have a bed for the baby. They had to use the feed trough. It sounds like it worked out pretty well. And it was not wrapped in linens of purple and raiments and beautiful colors. He was wrapped in swaddling cloths. This is what they had. This was an astonishing event. This epiphany suddenly comes amongst everyone, hopelessly helpless. You've heard my definition of babies. I'm a ways from it, but babies are all demand on one end and no responsibility on the other. And they never let you sleep. Colin, are you listening to me or did you fall asleep? I know about new dads. I know about moms and babies. You do that, don't you? You keep mommy and daddy and everybody awake. It's my job. We wouldn't have it any other way. I always get a bit of a shock every Christmas when I get Christmas cards. I love seeing the cards, especially the ones with family pictures. But sometimes I have to read the titles. Here's a mom and a dad and little kids, and I realize that the mom was the little girl that I baptized and held in confirmation class. What has happened? It is an amazing thing to see, and it is a joy, a celebration. Some of you know that Colin was that little one not too long ago. What has happened? 2 weeks ago, we talked right after Christmas about Jesus in the temple. How many of you remember? Now that I remind you, you're remembering. So chronologically, we took Jesus from a baby and the family who had to go flee to Egypt. And then later they return after Herod's death. And they are on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem during the Passover. And when they're going to return, Jesus isn't with them. You remember, he was about 12, 14. Well, today we get out of chronological order and we go back now. We go back to the three magicians, the three scientists, the three astronomers, watchers of the heavens, those who knew and understand and are aware of what's occurring and how it's occurring and where. And they are foretold that there is a pivotal event here. And they travel from the east. Now, we're not just talking east. I mean, Aurora is about as far east as we get in the Denver metro area, isn't it? I guess what, Burlington is east of us? Lyman, Kansas, a lot of antelope. But from the east, from Bethlehem, we're talking about the Middle East. We're talking about Arabia. We're talking about India. And in fact, the three are named. Somewhere I have their names. Wait for me. Balthazar, Melchior, and Gaspar. This is according to legend. We don't have it in the Bible, their names. But these are the names that were given to them. The whole story account of the Magi came about the 4th century and was very important and central. But these three come. One, they believe that Balthazar represented Arabia and that Melchior was from Persia and that Caspar was from India. I'm not talking American Indians, I'm talking India, Amon, you know. Here from the east are people far from Jerusalem, not in the least bit Jewish. And they pay Jesus homage. We hear that term because we hear it every Christmas. They came and paid homage to the king. But you need to understand what homage is. Homage is when we as serfs go to the Lord of the manor, the Lord of the region that is protecting us, the head boss, rich guy, and we say, we will work for you. We will be your servants, slaves, people, if you will protect us. It is a vow of fealty. So do you understand? Homage is saying, you're the boss, and we acknowledge that as your servants. And these three come, Arabia, Persia, India. How can this be? How can this? This is beyond imagination. And this is what Paul talks about in Ephesians. I'm going to read you Ephesians 3, 1 through 6. Paya, do we have that for the screen? Watch this. Is she good or what? This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote about in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ, In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind as it is now. It has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Amen. Reading of the word. Paul talking to people in Ephesus, and he's talking about this amazing mystery. And that's what this is. The epiphany is this creation of God on earth, not just for the Jews who have been faithful, but for all people, for Jews and Gentiles, for black and white, for men and women, from all places, for rich and for poor, and knowing and emphasizing his reaching for widows and orphans and the poor. Justice, righteousness. This is who it is. This is the epiphany. This is the day that all of this is acknowledged. Shall we pay him homage? Amen.